bites increased.
Drivers are distracted, they're impatient, and they're reckless. And they're making the decision to run a red light instead of safely stopping.
That's National AAA spokesman Doug Shope speaking to CBS News. Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva says the deputy who lied about being shot is now out of a job. The sheriff says a criminal investigation's continuing, and he told reporters the rookie deputy has admitted that he lied about being shot last Wednesday outside the Lancaster Sheriff's Department station. Apple is out with an apology for having hired third-party contractors, which it allowed to listen to recordings picked up by its Siri voice assistant. Some of the recordings happened when Siri was accidentally triggered by muffled background, but a whistleblower said the voice assistant routinely recorded people making drug deals and talking about confidential information. Find us online at usaradio.com for USA Radio News. I'm Chris Barnes.
The traffic stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll be talking about one of the worst customer service experiences I've ever had recently. I'll talk about how a Southwest Airlines employee created great customer service during a difficult time. I'll have three things preventing you from hitting your goals. And I'll talk about why Americans need a wake-up call regarding their finances. It's Thursday, August 29th, 2019, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we check the weather. It's currently 78 degrees at 12:05. Today, we're going to have sunny skies, a high of 82 and a low of 56. For tomorrow, continued sunny skies, a high of 86 and a low of 63. For Saturday, it'll be partly cloudy with a high of 82 and a low of 59. Sunday, continued cloudiness, high of 78, low of 63. And for Labor Day Monday, mostly cloudy with isolated thunderstorms, a high of 82 and a low of 63. And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently up 337.67 to 26,373.77. The NASDAQ up 115.87 to 7972.42. S&P 500 is up 36.92 to 2925.21. Oil up 84 cents to $56.62 per barrel. And gold is down $4 to $1,545.10 an ounce. All right, well, welcome to the program. It's called Taking Care of Business. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. And we get together every week at this time to discuss issues affecting businesses large and small. And you never know. I mean, sometimes, regardless of the size of your business, you can learn something from a mistake that a large business makes. And sometimes large businesses can learn from the mistakes that a small business makes. So hopefully there's something in here for everyone. We're going to talk a little bit today about finances. We're going to talk about customer service. We're going to talk about all kinds of things going on here in the borough of Flemington. So stick around. We've got another hour of this. A little bit of venting coming on a little later on, as only Flemington can do. Can they piss me off to the point where I have to take it to the airwaves? If you're listening currently, chances are you're listening on a computer or on your tablet or cell phone. We'd ask that you open up another URL and like and follow the page Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. This way you'll get updates midweek on anything happening in the business world that I think is important, like the labor statistics that just came out earlier today. We would have posted them. The business quote of the week is brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. I use anybody as a motivation for the motivational quote of the week. It could be a sports celebrity. It could be a movie star. It could be political figure, religious figure. This time it comes from Vince Lombardi, the legendary head coach of the Green Bay Packers and Washington Redskins. And he said, "The quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence, regardless of their chosen field of endeavor." And the reason I picked this was my niece, Isabel, we had a party for her last Saturday. She was shipping out to the Air Force on Monday. And so my wife and I bought her a card. I can't really give her a gift because she can't take anything with her. So we bought her a card just to wish her well. And then I put a sheet of about 10 quotes that I thought she could refer to whenever anything got a little difficult. And I thought that this was very indicative of what she would be experiencing in the Air Force. And I apply it in my business. I think you can apply it in your business. It doesn't necessarily have to be just about your life, but about your business as well. So Vince Lombardi said that the quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence, regardless of their chosen field of endeavor. So whether you're running a small business, running a large business, any position in between, whether you're the CEO or the janitor, do you have that commitment to excellence? Speaking of commitment to excellence, I was watching the television show Hard Knocks on HBO the other night, and they are featuring the Oakland Raiders this year. And there was a good segment in there, a good maybe 10 minutes, on Jason Kabinda, who is the former 100 Central football standout, went on to play at Penn State. And so there was scenes with him, scenes with his mom, scenes with Coach John Gruden. And it was definitely worthwhile to watch. And also, Jason had worked at Crown Trophy of Flemington during one summer. So I'm always interested in seeing him succeed. I want to talk to you for a minute about the worst customer service experience I had. Then we'll go to the commercial break. And when we come back, I'll talk to you about one of the best customer service experiences people had. So last Saturday, as I mentioned, we were going to my niece's send-off party to join the Air Force, and we had to stop for some gas. My wife was turning in her car, so we only needed like $20. We didn't, you know, because she was limited on how many, you know, she didn't want to fill it up and turn in a car with a full tank of gas. So we go to a gas station in White House, New Jersey, and there's two guys in the middle island in that little booth just talking, you know, having a good time just talking. And we pull up to the pump, shut off the motor, and they don't seem in any hurry to help us. They don't get up. Neither one of them gets up. They looked at us, but neither one got out of their chair to come and pump our gas. Finally, after about 2 minutes, one gentleman gets up, walks over, and we just said, you know, $20, you know, regular unleaded. He puts the nozzle into the tank, starts it up, and goes back to the booth and continues talking to his buddy. Now when $20 is over, it pops off. He hears it pops off. He looks at the tank, sees that it's done, but doesn't bother to get up. He just continues his conversation. And I'm like, you're there for one reason. You're there to pump the gas. And I know it's not the most glorious profession in the world, but I think it's pretty self-explanatory that when the customer is done, you remove the nozzle from their car, you take their money, and you send them on their way. So we were the only cars at the pump, and they just kept on talking. So I get out, I put the hose away, I have to walk over to where they're at, having their little conversation. Neither of them, you know, gets up to meet me, and then I have to pay them, which in New Jersey is not the way it works. You know, they pump your gas for you. They had one job, to just pump our gas, and they couldn't even get off their asses to do it. And it goes back to what I've been saying. Customer service is basically an art form. There's certain companies that do it very well. There's certain companies that aren't so good at it. And then in the case of this gas station, there's certain companies that are just plain horrible at it. You don't mind taking my money, but you won't give me the least bit of service in return. I have a problem with that. And there's a good chance I'll never go back to that gas station again because my time is valuable and I'm not going to waste 5 minutes waiting for you to get out of your chair and stop talking so that I can get gas in my car. So, again, the customer's needs should be first and foremost in any service-related position. Waitress in a bar, waitress at a restaurant, you know, if you're working at Macy's, you need to take care of the customer. You can sit and talk to your friends anytime, but when the customer shows up, it's time to service them. And in this case, they didn't do it. My vote for worst customer service of the week goes to the gas station there in White House, New Jersey. When we come back, I'm going to have a story about a Southwest Airlines employee that actually turned a bad situation into a good situation with great customer service. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime. What else?
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com, WHCRDB. So glad you could join us as we continue with the program. My name is Jim Gonneau, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. Some of you have seen the post. I put a little teaser post on Facebook yesterday. But there can only be one trophy store in America that can provide the NFL with the Pete Rozelle Award, with the Player of the Year Award, and the Coach of the Year Award, and that trophy store is right here in Flemington, Crown Trophy of Flemington. Very proud to be working with the Professional Football Writers Association and creating those awards for them. Totally updated the awards that they've been handing out in the past and getting a lot of great feedback from the recipients and from the league that they really like them. So we're very proud to have partnered with the Professional Football Writers Association of America and glad that the NFL is proud of our work as well. Well, there's a Southwest agent who entertained flyers during a recent flight delay. And about a month ago, I flew down to Florida to visit some friends. And we had a 3-hour flight delay on takeoff going to Florida and about a 2.5-hour flight delay on the way back. And when you're stuck in the airport or on the airplane, as we were, there's nothing worse because you just feel like you're being held prisoner. And so this gate agent took it upon themselves to have a little fun with the customers. They knew they were going to be delayed, so why not have some fun and make light of the situation? So major flight delays in the Northeast due to weather in recent weeks meant that passengers across the country spent more time than expected waiting in airports. Unfortunately for some travelers, a Southwest Airlines employee helped make things fun. Kristen Dundas, who was flying Thursday from Orlando to Washington, D.C., shared a video of a Southwest gate agent at the Orlando International Airport who had a unique way of keeping delayed passengers entertained. This gate agent is playing win a prize for the worst driver's license picture because our flight has been delayed 2.5 hours, Dundas captioned the video of a Southwest agent announcing the winner of the game. This video is another example of how we are encouraging our employees to have fun with our customers, Southwest representative Dan Lanson told USA Today in a statement. The customer service agent in the video is known for putting a smile on our customers' faces by playing games in the gate area while making travel fun and enjoyable for everyone. The official Southwest Airlines account responded to Dundas, stating the airline was glad the agent was able to make the delay a little more bearable. The airline is known for holding games and contests on board flights and at the gate, especially during delays. Heavy rain in the Northeast caused a flurry of flight delays and cancellations during a busy travel weekend ahead of Labor Day and back to school season. Over 6,000 flights within, into, or out of the United States were delayed and over 700 canceled last Friday, according to flight tracking website FlightAware. Now, Kristen Dundas said, I was getting heated until this gate agent started playing games with everyone, waiting to pass the time, and now I'm like, I'll wait all damn night if this keeps up. Hashtag amazing. So how about in your business, is it strictly transactional, or do your employees have your permission or your encouragement to make it fun, especially if you're in a service-type business where suddenly the line's going to get queued up or there could be delays, you know, like this because of weather? Would you authorize them to do whatever was necessary in order to make the experience a little more tolerable for the flyers or the customers? So a lot of businesses say, no, they have to stay by the book. I don't want them deviating. I have a process. This is it, you know, and that's fine. But when you're not there, can they go off the books, if you will? There was another story a couple of months ago. The Rochester airport, there's a Chick-fil-A in the airport, and there was a problem with their computer system where they couldn't ring anybody up. They could take the orders manually, but they had no way of opening the cash register drawers and things like that. And so the person who works at Chick-fil-A finally just said they would let people come in, order their meals, and let them go. And they said, you know, it's not your fault that we can't get this working, so, you know, be on your way, compliments of Chick-fil-A. And they, you would think that at some point when this news traveled up the chain at Chick-fil-A that they would get upset with the employee for giving away free food. In fact, it was totally opposite. They appreciated that the employee didn't make people stand in line, possibly missing their flights, and said that, you know, that was a good job. That's the Chick-fil-A way. So, you know, that was a good opportunity. Are you willing to stand behind your employees if they take that initiative? Something to think about, and something to think about in the culture of your business. What latitude do your employees have when dealing with customers, when dealing with pricing or with problems? Interesting story that I came upon yesterday was that Americans need a wake-up call when it comes to their finances. This is not only an interesting story, it is a very scary story. Now, as Americans face increasing amounts of debt, their ability to retire comfortably is coming more into question. Our research has shown that 78% of people are living paycheck to paycheck, financial expert Chris Hogan said on Yahoo's Finance on the Move. That means if one check doesn't show up, they don't have enough to really make basic needs met month in and month out. So we need a wake-up call all the way around, and people need to engage in this and get more serious. So you don't have to answer me. You don't have to text me or anything like that or post it on Facebook. But how are you doing? Are you living paycheck to paycheck? Do you have that comfortable 4 month to 6 month nest egg that they talk about in savings if you were to lose a job, if your employer suddenly couldn't pay you? Do you have that cushion or do you have more? And are you saving for retirement along the way? So Hogan added that he doesn't think people understand that it's really important for us to make sure that we're putting money away and saving, because if we don't save some money, we won't have any money to spend later. A Best Buy company employee counts – or never mind on that. So here's where it gets a little tricky. And he says he really wants to encourage college students to avoid this trap. So if you have a student in college, maybe they're working at a job at college, and you know, a lot of people say, well, that's his beer money. Let's not drink so much beer. Now, according to a recent survey conducted by Freedom Debt Relief, 41% of Americans have not set aside any money at all for retirement. And the main reason indicated was due to the cost of everyday expenses. 41% of the country is not setting aside any money at all for retirement at any age. Are we working till we're 90? Are we working till we're 95? The purpose of retirement and of working is to put money away so that you can retire at some point. Debt was also another impediment to saving adequately, with about 79% of those surveyed saying that they do have debt. Credit card debt accounted for 46%, mortgage debt 41%, auto loans 28%. Now, having fallen into that trap and taken a few years to get out of it, he really wants to encourage college students to avoid that trap, Hogan said. Credit card debt is something that once they get their hooks into you, this can take you up to 12 to 15 years if you're not aware of it to attack it and get it out of your life. So he wants to understand. He wants people to understand credit. So there's a graph that he showed talking about the lack of retirement savings. This is where it gets really scary. Now think about what you'll need to live per year. And then when you retire, will you have that money there? So 41% said they have zero money set aside for retirement. 19% said they have about $1,000 to $1,000 set aside for retirement, which is great because that means that you can retire one day, but you're going to have to get back to work by 11 o'clock the next day. 18% said they have somewhere between $1,000 and $5,000. 12% said they have $5,000 to $10,000. 6% said they had about $10,000 to $20,000. 5% said more than $20,000. If you have a college student, if you are a college student, I really want you to sit with a financial planner. When you get your first job, I want you to sit with a financial planner and earmark a certain percentage, regardless of what you make, that has to go into savings for the rest of your life. And the reason is because you're building up to a certain time when you could take time off, you could retire, but otherwise, when you have zero, and don't think that just because you have zero at the age of 21, that the age of 31, you're suddenly going to have more money. Or 41 or 51. The longer you wait, the harder it is, the longer you'll work. So any kind of debt is a threat to your future. Now, Yahoo Finance previously reported how 25% of Americans surveyed in December of 2018 expect to die in debt. Now, this is sad because it's preventable. Additionally, 41% of people don't know when they'll pay off what they owe. 65% of adults with debt don't know when or if they'll get out of it. Any kind of debt, again, is a threat to your future, right? Hogan said, whenever we borrow someone else's money, we're charged a penalty called interest. And so helping young people understand how money works is absolutely essential. Knowledge is absolutely critical to be able to help young people avoid this trap down the road. Household debt recently reached $13.67 trillion, which is $993 billion higher than the peak of $12.68 trillion in the third quarter of 2008. So in just 10, 11 years, we've increased our debt by almost $993 per household. Now, the best way to avoid personal debt is budgeting, which Hogan describes as an absolutely critical, crucial life skill. It's going to help you have more control over your money than you ever thought possible, he said. There's a statement out there that you can either tell money where to go or wonder where it went. And if you're not budgeting, that's what ends up happening. Money is leaving you and you don't know what's going on. There's a couple of courses that I've seen recently. It was on NBC Nightly News not too long ago, where millennials, and I'm not picking on millennials, this is for anybody, but millennials are taking part in courses called adulting. And it's because, you know, when we go to school, we learn math, science, English, but we're not learning about being adults necessarily. And unless you paid attention to your parents and your parents stuck to a strict budget, there's a good chance that you're not going to have that. So if your attitude is, I want a car, I'm going to put it on a credit card. I want a stereo, I'm going to put it on a credit card. I want new clothes, I'll put it on the credit card. That's the wrong way to do it. Because again, you're just borrowing someone else's money. It eventually has to get paid back and you are piling on the debt. So hopefully If you're a young person listening, your homework assignment would be, even if you have no money right now, either attend a money seminar, a money planning seminar, financial planning seminar, or meet with a financial planner that will sit with you and discuss how you can start now. I remember years ago, I was working for an insurance company. I was about 25, 26 years old, relatively newly married. And we went into the amphitheater that we had. And this was for all new employees. And we met with a financial advisor. I think they were from AXA Equitable or something like that. And they told us the importance of putting money away. And they showed us a graph of if you put just two percent of your salary away, this is how much you'd have at age 65. If you put 10%, this is how much. So I went all in. I put 10% in. I'm fine. I can retire today and I can live till I'm 95. And I won't have to worry about anything. Social Security will kick in. That'll supplement the income. I'm going to live off interest. I'm okay. And the people that were in that group with me are in the same position because we listened and we said, you know what? And it was really, it came down to pennies. 10% of your salary back in 1983 or 4 wasn't a whole lot of money. You know, so rather than saying, well, I want that $30 or $40 in my wallet every week, I put it into an account. Didn't touch it, didn't see it. It just kept coming out of my paycheck. And now I'm to the point where I can retire comfortably. But for those that don't do that, and that seems like an entire generation right now, I worry about where they're going to be in the future. So, again, if you're an adult listening, talk to your kids. If you're a kid listening, talk to your parents, talk to a financial advisor, and come up with some kind of a roadmap. Even if you were to save $10 a week, $20 a week, you know, a certain percentage out of your paycheck up to the maximum cap. Think about where you want to be or where you will be at the age of 65. The sooner you start, and I have a son who's 21 who just took $10,000 and started to invest it. He's making money. He'll be set when he's 65. And, you know, being that he's going to law enforcement, there's a good chance he's going to retire when he's 50, 55, and he'll be set. He won't have to necessarily keep working forever. So very key point here, and 41% of Americans aren't doing it, and that is you've got to get with a financial planner and you've got to start talking about your future and how you're going to fund your retirement, how you're going to fund your future. I have another money tip coming up later on in the show called 4 Money Management Tools for Parent Entrepreneurs. Before we do that, we had breaking news yesterday about a stalemate impasse on the Union Hotel redevelopment project. I do want to talk about that, and we'll get to that right after the news break. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Florida's Governor Republican Ron DeSantis has just held a news conference where he was urging Florida residents to start making plans now for what could be a very powerful Hurricane Dorian when it comes near or into the state on Sunday or early Monday.
Could make a case for places like Miami and the Keys to get impacted. You can make a case for it to be northern Florida, obviously central Florida. So really the key is to have your plan and make those preparations right now.
The state of Georgia is also on alert for Dorian. A Justice Department report finds former FBI Chief James Comey violated official policy in his handling of personal memos he wrote about one-on-one talks with President Trump. However, Comey won't be prosecuted. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed, but that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses, and you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk, but one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. Work out.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. So glad we can get together every Thursday at this time. I want to talk to you about a story that appeared on TapInto.net in the Flemington Raritan edition by Curtis Leeds yesterday. When I read it, the first thoughts in my head was, here we go again. And then anger took over, sadness took over. And it just seems like we are in this perpetual wormhole that we'll never seem to get out of. And as I read the story, I couldn't help but think about a scene from the movie Cool Hand Luke. And I want to share that with you now.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week. Which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it.
So that's from the movie Cool Hand Luke. And that line, what we have here is a failure to communicate, sums it up best. So here's the story as it appeared in Tap Into from Curtis Leeds with the dateline of August 28th in Flemington. Allegations that Borough Council President Michael Harris has a potential conflict of interest over the Union Hotel redevelopment plan has led to a stalemate. We have an impasse, the borough's own redevelopment attorney told council Monday night. The allegation follows Harris's one-time listing before he was elected to council as a trustee of the Friends of Historic Flemington, a citizens group that has sued the borough over its approval of Jack Cusk's plan to redevelop the Union Hotel and surrounding properties. The borough has sought to resolve this dispute, but settlement discussions, to my knowledge, are over, redevelopment attorney Joseph Marazziti said, although he said they could resume. Marazziti argued that Harris should recuse himself from matters involving the Friends and that the courts are very strict and becoming more strict regarding potential conflicts. Now, regarding potential conflicts, any action that the person is involved in is subject to being overturned by the court. Now, my job is to protect the borough from the situation where action taken by the borough is challenged on the basis of potential conflict of interest if Council President Harris is involved in a decision or even, as the courts say, present in the room when those discussions are held, the attorney said. The rules are intended to ensure public confidence is in the process, he said. Harris had previously recused himself from some matters involving the Friends, but then the scope grew and grew, leaving him out of important discussions. Harris said the allegations had already been examined by the borough's previous redevelopment attorneys, and after that review, he was then appointed to the redevelopment committee. So it's reasonable that the concern was satisfied. Marazziti said, I don't think all the facts were in front of them, and Harris's decision to not recuse us is leaving us in a stalemate. I will not discuss any of the issues for so long as the council president is in the room, Marazziti said, citing his professional responsibility. So you have a council president who was once tied to the Friends of Historic Flemington, who won't recuse himself from the discussions, but where the borough attorney, where the redevelopment attorney is saying, if you don't recuse, we can't continue. And it's just another stall tactic to me. This is this town, and I blame everyone on all sides, because we are the laughingstock of the state of New Jersey, if not Pennsylvania and New York. Anybody who's heard the story of the Union Hotel and is saying, wait, it's 10 years now and you're still talking about this stupid building? I don't care about the people getting their feelings hurt if I say knock it down. You know, there's nothing historic that happened in the Union Hotel. A bunch of reporters during the Lindbergh trial ate there, drank there, got drunk there, slept there, and then went back across the street to the courthouse. Now, if you were to say, let's tear down the courthouse, I'd have a real problem with that. There is history there. The hotel is just an old building. No history happened there. So I think it's time that we really have to start rising up and taking our town back and not letting people like Michael Harris or anybody else hold us hostage. big boys get in the room and solve their problems. Now get the council in a room, get the developer in a room, get some concerned citizens in the room and hash it out and come up with a plan. In the meantime, we're in this stalemate. We're in this this lock of not being able to do anything. When Jack Cust was approved, the whole plan was approved last October, he was told he had 7 years to develop the property. Four pending lawsuits, now a council president that won't leave the room. Time just keeps on ticking. I say stop the clock. Call a timeout. No more time comes off that clock for Mr. Cust until all these matters are resolved. Once he has the green light, then it's okay. Put the shovel in the ground and start building. It's as if, and I wrote this about a year ago, it's as if, it's like going back to when I was a kid and my sister would have snow globes from the places that we would visit. And every now and then you could go to the shelf and shake it and the glitter would fall down and you say, oh, that's cute. That's what this town is. We're just shaking it up every now and then and letting the snow fall where it will. But we're not doing anything. We're not moving forward. And what do you hear on Flemington United and on Flemington Forward all the time? I wish we were like Somerville. I wish we were like New Hope. I wish we were like Lambertville. I wish we were like Clinton. We will never be like any of those towns if we don't start moving forward now. Somerville had a hard challenge. Everybody thinks that was an overnight sensation. It took 30 years to turn Somerville into what it is now. I lived through it. I grew up in Bridgewater. My parents grew up in Somerville. My grandfather started a business in Somerville. Somerville's like a hometown to me. That's my main street. But it didn't happen overnight. Everybody in Bridgewater fought like hell not to have the Bridgewater Commons Mall come in because it was going to ruin downtown Somerville. What did it do? It ruined downtown Somerville. For 5 or 10 years, vacancies abounded. You couldn't walk two stores without seeing a for rent sign. Now, over time, they had to reinvent themselves. And they picked antiques and food. And although it seemed like a very narrow demographic to be appealing to on the antique side, it worked. And people started coming back to Somerville and shopping for antiques and other eclectic stores. And then they had to eat. So restaurants came up. And then they brought in car shows about 18 years ago on Friday nights. And everybody talks about how busy Somerville is. They talk about Division Street. When they first proposed closing Division Street to traffic to create this esplanade, if you will, everybody was like, are you nuts? You're going to close a road that everybody uses as a cut-through to get to 202? But people are there every Friday night, Saturday night, many midweek nights, listening to people play music, talking with their friends. It's a great use of that space. But it didn't happen overnight. The Courthouse Square project, once completed, will provide what I call old town, new town mentality. If you go to Seattle, you go to Austin, Texas, you go to San Antonio, you go to Portland, you go to Vancouver, all of those towns have what they call old towns. So if you want to preserve history, you want to preserve architecture, things like that, that's where you do it. But there's a certain section of every town that just has fallen on such disrepair that it needs a new life. And that's where the new town section comes in. In Seattle, the plan is every 5 years, they either tear down what's there and rebuild. But for the past 20 years, they've had, by the waterfront, they've taken certain blocks, knocked down what was there, and come with new apartments. And they figure out what people like about those areas, bars, food, restaurants, and the apartments. And then when it's time to rebuild another section, they incorporate that into that section. And over the course of 20 years, they've made a beautiful city. But Seattle wasn't always what Seattle is today. And arguments that people make of, I wish Flemington was more like, you know, New Hope and Lambertville and Somerville and Westfield, it's foolish to think that that's going to happen in a year. It's foolish to think it's going to happen in 5 years. Because if we don't start moving forward and moving forward now, nothing's going to happen. So here's what has to happen. At some point, council, someone on council or the mayor has to insist that Michael Harris be recused, that he recuse himself and let at least discussions continue. The Friends of Historic Flemington have to start coming to the table. All sides need to sit in a room, lock the doors, don't let anybody out for bathroom breaks or food, lock the doors, and sit down and come up with the solution. Because we have been sitting around for 10 years. 10 years of wasted time. When you want to be the next Somerville, you could have already been the next Somerville. But you can't now. You're still 5 years of construction. People are complaining about a sidewalk. And we can't get out of our way to do the basic construction to renovate the courthouse square. It's disgusting. It's despicable. It's embarrassing. And people will blame the FCP that not enough is being done. Guess what? It's not the FCP's fault. Put that right on the feet of the town council. Put that right at the feet of the mayor. Put that right at the feet of the Friends of Historic Flemington. Get in a room, put your big boy pants or big girl pants on, and hash it out and figure out what needs to be done. Make these lawsuits go away, expedite the timeline so that they can go away, and let Mr. Cuss do what he has to do to build the new town section of Flemington. Respect the old, build the new, and then people will come. People aren't coming here. I was asked by Advantages Magazine to answer a simple survey about Flemington. What were the sights to see? What was the best hotel to stay at? What was, you know, there were all kinds of things like, why would I want to do business in Flemington? I have yet to respond to that survey, and they want to publish it in their magazine. They want to publish my response in the magazine. I can't answer that because I could say the best place to stay is the Union Hotel. Good luck finding a bed. There is no great place to stay in Flemington. There is no great thing to do. We have certain events, and they're good, but they're only at certain times of the year. Another business recently closed, and the business owner blamed the FCP for her failure. Bullshit. Not the way it works. Not in business. You're responsible for your own success. Plain and simple. You are responsible for your success. Now, when you say that your sales are down because events were moved from Main Street to Stangle, you're kidding yourself. If you say your sales are down 14,000 because events moved from Main Street to Stangle, you're kidding yourself. I'm going to have more on this next week as well. The only person who's responsible for your success is you. It's not the FCP's job to drive people to your business and make them spend money. Anybody who thinks that really has a bad inclination of what a business improvement district is all about. You are responsible for your own success and your own failures. The failure right now is on the part of this town, its leadership, the Friends of Historic Flemington, and all the residents who are allowing this to happen. We should be in the streets with brooms on fire and pitchforks, demanding action and doing it now. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is a locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Huntin' Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Huntin' Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Aw, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you. I wanted to talk to you again a little bit about money management. Now, in an earlier story today, I talked about how 41% of people across the country have not saved anything for retirement, which is a very scary proposition when you think about it. But I want to talk to you about four money management tools if you are a parent entrepreneur. Now, being a business owner can be risky, and that's especially if you're a parent. Money management tools are important for everyone to learn, but for parent entrepreneurs, they are especially crucial. Providing for a family adds a layer of complexity to entrepreneurship that parents must navigate carefully every day. The significance of money management tools for parent entrepreneurs recently came to mind while on a business call with a young successful entrepreneur who does not have children. We were scheduled to talk about work, but within 10 minutes of our call, she asked a very powerful question. Do you ever regret having kids? And I said no. More specifically, she wanted to know if I regret the impact that being a parent has had on my career. The question did catch me off guard. So it's something that you have to balance. You know, do you want to be a business owner? Do you want to be an entrepreneur? You know, a lot of women, you know, will say, I'm not going to have kids because I'm a lawyer and I need to get established. But when you look in the mirror, you can see signs of fatigue and worry on just about every entrepreneur's face. You can feel it in their bones. Becoming a parent does take an understandable toll. It means waking up to take a call with a client while your child is in the other room. It means staying up late in the night to complete a project so you can attend a field trip the next day. It means making sure the financial tools to run your business are in place so that you can focus on what matters most, which is family. And I often say it's the hardest and most important project that you'll ever work on, balancing life, your family life, and your entrepreneurial life. Being an entrepreneur and a parent is an incredibly daunting task, and especially if you're in those early stages. Your business needs to grow, and you run the risk, first of all, your children are going to grow at the same time, which means their needs are going to change over time. For parents, the risk of failure is great, so you have to be smart risk takers, especially when it comes to money. And having the right financial planning tools for your business can make all the difference. So here we go. What are the four tips that you can do to be a successful parent entrepreneur? First, you want to pay yourself. So a lot of times people become successful before they have kids. You make good money, you travel often, you're at the top of your game. And there are certain times when the kids come when all of a sudden that changes. So make sure that you're paying yourself. Don't ever let that go away. And that's part of what Mike Michalowicz wrote about in his book, The Profit First. You also want to save your money. Earlier story today talked about how 41% of people aren't saving. You need to save. Saving is the money management tool that I believe pays dividends in the end. Without a steady paycheck, it can be difficult to imagine saving for a rainy day or even for college funds, but doing so will set you up for longevity, even if the only savings you can muster is just a small percentage every month. The entrepreneurial path is laden with surprises and costs. From clients, unexpected changes to ongoing projects, increased insurance rates, hiring new team members, and more. So the first thing you should account for as a parent entrepreneur is whether or not you have the savings to support the cost of starting up. So take a close look at your finances, create a budget, stick to it, and ensure that you have financial planning tools like a steady savings plan in place to account for the inevitable expenses that come up along the way. You also want to use your business card benefits. Now, there are smart money management tools available to business owners through your business card. Taking out business loans or opening a business line of credit can provide the support you need to stay afloat. Taking advantage of some of the perks of business ownership can provide some relief for parent entrepreneurs when it's needed most. And number four and final is take smart risks. Entrepreneurship is risky by nature, but as parents, you're usually inherently cautious anyway. You should be. Your choices are no longer your own. You have to take all the people who depend on you into account when you make your decisions. The challenge is that you rarely experience success in business without some risk. and parents often miss out on opportunities for fear of taking a leap that could jeopardize too much for their families. A money management tool that can help parents navigate is to only take calculated risks. So do your homework, consult with your partner, family, or trusted advisor, and come up with a plan. Decide what you can afford to sacrifice and what you can't, and then take the risks within that determined margin. When faced with entrepreneurship and parenthood, choose them both every time. Being a parent entrepreneur allows you to be the parent that you want to be, and the journey isn't easy, but the rewards are great. With dedication, strategy, and smart money management tools, you'll be able to build the future that your family deserves. So, again, it really comes down to the want, need, and desire. If you want to be an entrepreneur, if you want to have a family, and you want all those to balance out, be smart with your money at all times. I want to talk insurance for a little bit, and that is, does your company need a workers' compensation policy? Now, it's an employer's responsibility to keep all of their workers safe. The laws differ from one state to the next, but it's every business's best interest to maintain workers' comp insurance. Some states mandate it. This small business insurance provides for the payment of benefits if a worker becomes injured or sick on the job due to an accident, occupational illness, or repetitive stress injury. You don't want to operate without it. It protects you from damages. And it's up to the employer to provide workers' comp insurance. It may be another expense, but it's also an important one in case an employee is injured while working. In the event an employee is injured while working, the law requires the employer to provide certain benefits, and this includes the payment of medical expenses. Another concern for an employer is that the state may assess fines and penalties if there is a failure to maintain work comp insurance as required by law. A workers' compensation policy will also provide coverage for employer liability arising out of employees' work-related injuries that do not fall under the workers' comp laws. Legal expenses add up quickly, and you're going to need to pay for a defense. If the court sides with the other party, then you may need to pay the judgment, and that money will come out of the business and perhaps your own pocket. Businesses have actually shut down due to this, so it is beneficial to have workers' compensation and employers' liability insurance coverage that can address any exposure. Your employees will also get peace of mind knowing you have that coverage. If they suffer an injury at work, they're in a tough situation. With workers' comp policy in place, employees know where they can turn after an accident. The workplace should have forms for the employer to fill out right away. And other policies are also important. Most businesses will need this coverage in addition to a few other policies such as general liability, professional liability. Workers' comp is important to ensure the future of your business as well as the well-being of your employees. And with the right coverage, you can protect your company and the people in it. Little bit of advice when it comes to insurance, not a bad idea to sit down every year with your insurance professional and make sure that you are covered for all things, including things like errors and omissions. If you or your staff makes a mistake, be covered. In sports, in Major League Baseball, the Yankees, Twins, and Astros lead their divisions in the American League, while the Braves, Cardinals, and Dodgers lead theirs in the National League. In NASCAR news, the teams were off last week, and this week head to the track too tough to tame, Darlington, for the Bojangles Southern 500. And it is throwback weekend, so a lot of paint schemes from the past are coming back on the cars. In NFL news, preseason workouts and training camp is still underway, with the fourth week of games take place tonight with the Eagles playing the Jets, the Giants playing the Patriots. Then the teams will have to pare down their rosters to the 53-man limit by next week. Colts quarterback Andrew Luck retired last weekend, citing too many injuries, so my fantasy football tip of the week is don't pick Andrew Luck to be your starting quarterback. In other NFL news, former 100 Central football standout Jason Kambinda, who went on to play at Penn State and is now with the Oakland Raiders, was featured on this week's episode of HBO's Hard Knocks. If you get a chance, catch the episode on HBO or YouTube. In NCAA football, the season kicks off this week with Rutgers playing UMass on Friday night and Penn State playing Idaho. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com. Or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at Jim Gannot 83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot. For more information about me and my businesses, visit www.jimgannot.com. I'm Jim Gannot, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
Listening to WHCR DB.
HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Justice Department is deciding not to prosecute former FBI Director James Comey for retaining memos about interactions with the Trump White House and for disclosing one such memo to the media. The Department of Justice, though, does sharply criticize Comey for violating FBI and Justice Department policies on handling of information about sensitive law enforcement investigations. Louisiana Republican Congressman John Kennedy reacts to the news.
I believe for a long time, and this report confirms it, Mr. Comey is a meathead. He's a political hack. He hurt the FBI badly.
Kennedy was speaking there on Fox News. A state of emergency has been issued for Florida as Hurricane Dorian takes aim at the Sunshine State. Governor Ron DeSantis is urging people to have a week of supplies on hand, including food and water. The storm is expected to make landfall on Sunday. This is USA Radio News.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
To thank you for helping build MyPillow into the big company that it's become, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has created the new Radio Listener Special. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, and you can get deep discounts on the new body pillow, on regular MyPillow, the travel pillow, the Giza Dreams bed sheets, lots of savings there. MyPillow.com, use promo code USA and save on everything on the website.
A woman is accusing Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar of having an affair with her husband. Dr. Beth Minette says her spouse, Tim Minette, confessed to her in April that he was having an affair with the Somali-born congresswoman. It wasn't something, though, that Omar was interested in talking about when pressed on the issue this week.
I have no interest in commenting on anything that you are about to ask about my personal life.
Omar was speaking there on NBC News. Hey, Siri, can you apologize for Apple? USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes explains.
Apple is out with an apology for having hired third-party contractors, which it allowed to listen to recordings picked up by its Siri voice assistant. Some of the recordings happened when Siri was accidentally triggered by muffled background, but a whistleblower said the voice assistant routinely recorded people making drug deals and talking about confidential information.
Thank you, Chris, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
With the news that Senator Kirsten Gillibrand is ending her presidential campaign, many folks are wondering what could she have done different to gain some more traction, as she did not qualify for the third presidential debate like she had hoped for. Well, I had a chance to catch up with Caitlin Muscatello. She's author of a new book titled See Jane Win, the inspiring story of women changing American politics. And one of the things we discuss is what people are looking for when choosing a candidate.
think voters very much see through. If they see something that feels inauthentic, that feels like an act or feels like it's pandering, people are responding to that. And now there's sort of this public response because everyone can respond pretty quickly on social media if they choose to. So that authenticity piece of it, I think, is a really key factor going into this 2020 race for candidates to consider. We are seeing people do it well. I would say, in terms of the Democratic primary, we have Elizabeth Warren, who is running very much this, people sort of joke she's like very professorial and she's this policy wonk, and she's really leaned into that. That is something among her supporters. There's this saying that, I have a plan for that, or she has a plan for that. And that has really kind of become her identity, I think, in this campaign, and she's going with that. It does feel very authentic to her.
And finally, the NFL preseason wraps up tonight with Week 4, a full slate of games out there, all beginning at 4 o'clock Pacific time. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce